I was curious if you, Congresswoman, asked Bill Clinton that. I didn't see one tweet when Joe Biden was in office about Bill Clinton. Didn't ask Merrick Garland anything about Epstein, not once. When he was
weak sauce.
And
weak sauce.
Also, I want the record to reflect that, you know, with this anti-Semitic culture right now, she voted against a resolution condemning.
Oh,
he is Jewish.
Oh.
I just want to be clear.
Oh. Do you want to go there, Attorney General? Are you serious
to the gentleman
talking
from
about
South
anti-Semitism
Carolina.
To a woman who
Native,
lost her grandfather in the Holocaust?
I reclaim my time.
The committee will be in order.
Time. Talk to Jared Wise about anti-Semitism.
The ranking member knows that.
Can I get like 30 seconds back, you know?
Yeah, I've been.
Ballot took
I think the whole committee knows.
That was just one of many tense exchanges yesterday on Capitol Hill as the Attorney General Pam Bondi sparred with members of the House Judiciary Committee. And when she sparred, it was mostly with Democrats. Joining us now, the lawmaker you saw in that clip, Democratic Congressman Becca Ballant of Vermont. She's the vice ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. Talk about that moment. I mean, I think we knew Pam Bondi would come prepared to spar with Democratic members after what she did in the Senate last year. But was this what you prepared for?
No, I certainly didn't prepare to be accused as a Jewish member who had a family member killed in the Holocaust to be accused of anti-Semitism. We prepared for her to have a burn book, for her to be full of insults and not to answer the questions. We prepared for all of that. What is so concerning about this particular moment for me is why did she go there? Why was that the thing that she brought up? And my team and I thought about it a lot last night. And she knew that I had looked at records from Howard Lutnick, who is the Commerce Secretary. And that was my line of questioning, to ask her, has the DOJ interviewed these high-ranking members of the Trump administration about their ties to Epstein? She knew that because they were spying on us. They were surveilling us at the DOJ terminals, the computer terminals, and had printouts for what files we had looked at. And Howard Lutnick is of Jewish descent. And so this is one of the most chilling aspects of what happened yesterday. So not only did she have insults prepared for all of us and not answering the question, and survivors were in the room. They were desperate to get some answers and to be acknowledged. And what she was concerned about was bringing up, based on the dirt, including how we were surveilled at DOJ, to try to discredit us. And the survivors left once again feeling like their government had let them down. And it's heartbreaking.
So let's take this then in two buckets, right? Because I think there's the bucket of trying to discredit you as anti-Semitic because you happen to be looking at files relating to a member of the cabinet who's of Jewish descent. Okay. Yes. But on the surveillance front, if we stay in that lane for a moment, what does it tell you about a DOJ that opened up these documents 2 days before the attorney general was coming into the committee? This is something your colleague Pramila Jayapal told me when we spoke on the phone after the hearing. Just, is this the reason they did it, so that the attorney general could basically do an open book quiz from Democratic members?
That's what we fear. That is absolutely what we feared.
Did they warn you when you went in, like, okay, we're going to track what you look at?
No.
Okay.
No, they did not say that. And in fact, we had minders in the room and they kept changing the rules. Like, you can't, you know, they told us we couldn't bring in any printed materials from the files to compare to the files on the screen, which is, you know,
redactions are hard to keep track of.
Yeah. Absolutely. Then they told me I couldn't take notes on my printed material. Then they told me I couldn't bring in sticky notes. It just kept changing. And then you got minders in the room making sure you're not using phones. But they had already confiscated our phones. So there was no way we were going to be using phones. And it just goes right to the heart of what we've been saying about this administration all year. They are acting as an authoritarian regime. It is textbook fascism what they are doing. We can't trust what they're saying. There's so much propaganda. And then to know now that they were surveilling us at the Department of Justice, we are a separate branch of government. And I believe even the Speaker of the House said it was inappropriate. So, you know, if the Speaker of the House, because he never stands up for what Democrats are doing. So it's shocking. And again, it got in the way of the main story of the day, which is trying to get justice for these people who were sitting there saying to us, at least have the Department of Justice meet with us. They've been asking for a year for Secretary Bondi to meet with them, and then for her not to even turn and acknowledge them was so painful for them.
Yeah, I was talking to some of them outside yesterday after the hearing, and it just felt like their experiences were being invalidated. And so I wonder, as they promise that they're going to keep pushing ahead for transparency, what does that look like? And how can Congress do more than what it's already done, which is literally pass a law saying you have to be transparent when it comes to this?
So we're going to push for the release of the 3 million documents they're still holding on to. Their excuses for not releasing them are absurd, saying they're duplicative. Well, let us decide. Let us decide what's in there. And also, they have to comply with the law. So the law doesn't say you get to release some and not others. And in terms of other steps, like, they were really clear with us, the survivors, that this hearing was one piece of what it is that they want from us as members of Congress. The other is to pass laws to make sure this does not happen again. So really looking at laws that center the survivors, looking at laws that really can put an end to sex trafficking in this country and sexual abuse. And also, they want to have hearings in which they are able to fully tell their stories and explain to Americans how sex trafficking works, how people are groomed, because there is so much misunderstanding about what these young girls went through in terms of the way in which this was a highly orchestrated machine of abuse and trafficking.
Yeah, and I think that for so many of these women, there's also the onus of bringing pictures of them when they were girls, when this all first happened to them, to remind people, A, just how much time has passed, but B, the fact that they were in their teens when this happened to them.
Absolutely, and I have a 15-year-old daughter. And through that entire hearing yesterday, I just kept thinking about, as a mom, there is nothing more important to us than our children. And I think Americans across the country, regardless of party, can understand that. And to see the Attorney General not showing even basic compassion for them and not being willing to turn to them and saying, I am sorry the Department of Justice released your personal private information and nude photos of you and essentially traumatized you again. And she couldn't even do that.
Yeah, I do think, and Lisa Rubin and I started the show talking about this, I do think that there could have been a world where both things were true. Bondi could have come in and defended her agency's handling of the documents and also taken the human approach of saying, and as someone who has prosecuted these kinds of crimes before, I'm so sorry for what you've gone through. But I think there is this missing link, and it's been true the whole week when it's DHS officials talking about the shooting killings of Alex Pretty and Renee Good, all the way through the Attorney General yesterday. There's this like morality gap that they can't yet close. And I'm not sure where the missing link really is, because politics as usual has left space for that.
Absolutely. There is a morality gap, and the inability of this administration to ever admit that they have made a mistake and wronged Americans is deeply disturbing. And I don't think that's what Americans want.
Yeah, I also think our country has capacity for forgiveness when it's asked for that.
So, absolutely.
Democratic Congresswoman Becca Ballant of Vermont, I know we always talk to you. It's really great to have you here this morning to unpack what we watched yesterday on the Hill.